Hello everyone, it is Black Metal Steve with Metalheads Forever and Metal Couchcast. Today we have a fun interview with Bobby Blitz of Overkill. And let me tell you, if you needed a great interview, Bobby knows how to deliver. So please enjoy and don't forget to subscribe and follow our magazine. Thank you very much.
Super.
Let's get this interview going. I'm sure you're going to be a busy man today.
Yeah, let's rock it out.
Awesome. So everyone, this is Black Metal Steve of Metalheads Forever, speaking with the most amazing thrash metal guy around, Bobby Blitz of Overkill.
Hey Steve, good to be here. Good to be talking some thrash metal with you.
Awesome. So you guys got a new album coming out, The Winds of War, and it's going to be your 19th studio album. Can you believe it? 19th studio album?
Well, the only reason I believe it was because I was there for 18. But if you had asked me this, 30 years ago, I wouldn't think that there was a possibility. But, you know, somewhere in there is luck of the draw, I suppose commitment and high level of presentation and looking at opportunities as if they're important. Not that, oh, it's just another one. It's more about making the best of that opportunity. And I think that somewhere in the Wings of War that's evident and it feels successful.
And what do you think was the key ingredient to keep you guys like going through all these years, like being as a band? Because like having 19 studio albums in, like not a lot of bands from the thrash genre can really say that.
I don't think any. But I think the point is making the most of that opportunity. I mean, this isn't hard once you do all the preliminary work. You know, once you put the contracts in place, once you get the right amount of a budget. If you can make that happen and it presents an opportunity, then I think that the motivation becomes high level of presentation. You know, not mailing in the tracks, just re-releasing the same record over and over again. Sure, Overkill's identifiable, but somewhere from the inside, we feel that there's an evolution, that we morph into something else or a little bit different on each record. And I think that becomes inspirational to continue.
And with this being the 19th album, like, what made you guys decide to create another album? Like what made you guys like, man, we gotta make a new killer record? Because the fans are thirsty for this new album, extremely thirsty for some shredding.
Well, you know, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, this is obviously a very healthy scene right now, but we've always worked on a clock. You know, we're always roughly every 2 years. I think the longest break we ever had was 3. And somewhere in there, that works for us. It's a comfortable time frame for us to work in. So I think that one of the upsides of that is that when you hear a new Overkill record, it's a new Overkill record. It's not tracks that have been sitting around from prior records or X amount of years. They're tracks that have been written, you know, 8 or 10 months prior to you hearing. So I think that there's something really special in that, and that to me becomes still makes it this many years in feel fresh.
And when you say like you said, like since it's such a comfortable, like if it's so comfortable for you guys to make an album like every 2 years, you know, or 3 years, you think that makes the recording process so much easier for you guys for constantly going to the studio like in a cycle?
Well, for sure, it makes us happier. I mean, we're obviously happier with our tools on than our tools off. I mean, we want to try to improve it somewhere. And we're a combination of what was old and what is new. And I mean that with regard to technology. We're still the band that wants to demo and sweat in a room and exchange ideas and, you know, order a few pizzas and a few beers. You know, that's kind of the way it starts. But I think that we're also have embraced the fact that, hey man, it's 2019. If you can't reinvent yourself to be able to comply with new technology, to be able to trade ideas back and forth, you know, via the net, then you're going to be left behind. So I think that there's a combination of wanting to do it in that schedule, but also to some degree, it's become so much more easier to use modern technology to let's say ignite those ideas at a faster pace.
And when you say with, like you say with technology and all that going on, I think it's been helping you guys acquire more like new fans. You got stuff like YouTube and streaming sites and all that. I think that is starting to like get its claws into people like that have never listened to your music before, starting to attract more of a younger and modern audience as well.
I think for sure. I think that you know, the internet was always a two-pronged thing or double-edged sword for music. I mean, one case it was taking away revenue. In the other case, it was increasing promotion. So, you know, you have to make the best. You can't just sit and complain that, oh, it's not going to be the same as it was. Nothing's the same as it was. So I think a certain amount of reinvention is always necessary, or at least embrace the change and become part of it. And for sure, the fact that there's multi-generations listening to thrash at this particular point in history. I mean, there's grandpas, dads, and sons listen to this. I think that that's kind of cool. And the reason that that has happened is because of internet exposure.
And with internet exposure, it seems like it's getting you guys more like, is making people demand you more in other countries. Like right now, aren't you guys going to be doing a couple of shows with bands like Flotsam and Destruction pretty soon?
We take Flotsam and Destruction to Europe. I mean, well, Destruction's already there. But we do that tour in March. Prior to that, on Tuesday, we go to South America for 2 weeks, which will be killer. I mean, this will be our fourth time down there. We go about every 7 or 8 years or so in our history. But some great shows in big South American cities. Our U.S. tour gets announced on Monday. That will start on April 24th in Baltimore. I don't know if we're coming to, up exactly in your area, but for sure we're going to be in upstate New York, in Rochester, and possibly Albany.
Oh, definitely. Believe me, everyone up in New York loves Overkill. Believe me, like there's a huge club up here for Overkill. you can see Overkill patches for days up here.
It's okay with me, man. It's like part of the army, you know. They're in the uniform.
Yeah, you know what they say, like for all the people that like to party, you want some good party thrash. Overkill is one of the best bands to get drunk to. I mean,
I gotta tell you, that's the first time I ever heard that, but I can accept the answer. It's understandable to me.
And really, you know, like it must be amazing for you guys to be able to like go on tour with such like other thrash legends like Flotsam and Destruction. But like, do you like though like? You wouldn't feel like, because thrash itself, even there's a big revival interest in the genre, Overkill is one of the few bands that, like you said, learn to constantly find new ways to make themselves modernize and make sure they don't sacrifice the sound. Why do you think why other thrash bands are just struggling in this day and age compared to back in the day?
Well, I don't think that there's so many that are struggling. I think that it's a healthy scene, pretty much. It's not, you know, it's not just healthy for us. It's healthy for many of the thrash bands with experience. I mean, Flotsam has released a great new record, or is about to release a great new record. I know the Testament guys have been doing things at a really high level, as has Exodus. I think probably the ones that struggle are the ones that are newer and have less experience, because that's a really crowded market. There's only so many of the experienced bands around, but there's a lot more of the younger bands that use the template of the experienced bands. So it's about they're having to break out of that template and create their own individuality as to be able to get more recognition, I think.
And, you know, as like you said, like, would you say there'd be any modern thrash bands that you, like, you follow personally?
Passionately, I don't. But we've taken out, I mean, you know, as soon as the second wave of thrash came along, we've had bands with us like Suicidal Angels on their first record. We've had Warbringer on two separate records with us touring. Now, this is absolutely another generation of, of different thrash. We've had some English thrash bands with us, et cetera, et cetera, you know, across the board. But I think it's necessary to be able to promote both. I do think that, you know, if I'm a realist about it, I'm not going to be here forever. And if they want to continue this, somebody's going to have to break that into that, you know, original phase for themselves. And you see it in bands like Warbringer, even though they're not new bands anymore. You know, I mean, they've been around for quite some time at this point. But the point is that their originality is now intact.
Awesome. And with, you know, with Grinding Wheel, like, how does the Grinding Wheel and this war, what is, like, what you said we expect from the new album? Like, we expect the same type of Overkill formula? Will you say that both like the new generation of thrash fans and the old school fans can get into? Because like you said, like you guys know how to keep the thrash going and bring anyone that's into mosh pits into your shows.
No, I mean, it's a good question. How do you put that in words? I mean, it's better to, you know, in my estimation, it's just better to just listen to it. But if I had to put it in words, it is a little bit of a broken formula at this point. We have a new member, Jason Bittner, that changed the chemistry. I think we embraced that chemistry. I think what he brought to it was a surgical brutality with regard to how he approaches the drums. I think it gave us other places to go. And I think you take his brutality and the melody that Dave, Didi, and myself added to the record, it creates kind of a third entity. Somewhere in there, it's sure overkill at the end of the day, but it's got a fresh coat of paint. And I think that's probably the best way to describe it until you hear it.
I agree, and I believe one of the best ways for someone to listen to the new Overkill is definitely listening to the lyric vehicle, Last Man Standing, that's out right now. And I listened to that song, and it was fantastic. Like, I was, like, headbanging. I was, like, ear-guitaring, and my wife was telling me to get down off on the couch. You know, my Trevor was just telling me, oh, you're getting old there, aren't you? It's like, it is,
dude,
like...
Dude, you broke the coffee table. Dude!
to live back in those days when you can just jump on anything. Now you got to go worry about breaking your back.
Well, that's it. You know, that's Thrash 101, Last Man Standing. I mean, that's just, I think that song shows that everything is kind of well in our house. That even though there was a chemistry change, that this is going to be our approach for this record, or at least a similar part of the approach. It's not going to be everything on the record, but I think it's a good first foot forward.
And were you really, like, now, can we expect any more, like, videos coming up pretty soon in promotion of the new album?
Well, we just filmed Welcome to the Garden State. We did it at what was called an infinity room. It's the room is completely white, and it has no 90-degree angles in the room. So the corners are all rounded. The floor to the wall is rounded. So it almost looks as if you're looking into kind of a cloud. It's not like you can't distinguish where the room starts and ends. So that was the basis for doing this, and obviously over the top of that, it'll be cut with a lot of B-roll footage of different things with regard to New Jersey.
Well, that's awesome. You must love being from someone from New Jersey, which has a huge amount of passion from the fans as well as a huge music scene across the that's known across the globe. Do you think that being from New Jersey really kind of impacted the way Overkill music is created?
I think that we're kind of the last cowboys. You know, my parents and Didi's parents are, you know, they're first generation Americans. You know, this whole area was based on the immigration of, you know, the early 1900s and up until, you know, pre-World War II. So I think that, you know, what we have with regard to New Jersey is a work ethic that was brought specifically from European immigrants, that they wanted a fresh start because they wanted to be in a better place. And that, I think, was passed to our parents and passed to us. Not that other people have less of a work ethic, but I think it's special to some regard from that era to the present day, because it defined this area. So if New York City was the posh, we picked up the garbage in New Jersey. So I think it says to itself, or it says unto itself, that we'll do anything to be successful by the hard work and keeping our mouths shut.
That does show in definitely in the Overkill spirit that you guys would never stop, that you guys always going to be pushing to do the best that you can possibly do. Anyone that listens to Overkill can just hear that passion from New Jersey.
Well, you know, you find something you love, you never work a day in your life. I mean, that's as simple as it is. And, you know, I've been very lucky to, you know, spend my adult life in motorcycle boots and Levi's. You know, I mean, it's just, and that because of Overkill, and that because of the love that we have for this band. So I think that translates into it when you listen to it, that it's, you know, it's about us trying to be better regardless of how many years we've been around. It's not, oh, we were. We still want to be considered we are.
See, now it seems like some of the modern thrash bands can take that to take that to heart. Because like you said, like as long as you have the passion for it and you working hard for it, and it should pay off in the end. And it clearly paid off for you guys. I mean, like you guys, like you two, the thrash metal heads from the both the new and the old, you are like the like thrash godfathers. like if Bob Halford is the metal god, you guys are the thrash gods. There's some competition up there, Bob. I'm sorry.
That's quite a compliment.
No problem. And one more question, because I know you're a busy man, and I want to make sure you have a nice weekend.
Certainly.
If you can describe, like, if you can describe the new album with like one sentence to entice someone that has never heard Overkill in their entire life, buy the album, what would you tell them?
One sentence to entice them to buy the record. I'm trying to think here. Missing this would be like missing the bus home if you're a thrash fan.
See, that one, that is definitely going to be my favorite quote of 2019. Like, like all these kids with the memes, this is going to be the new one for them.
So all right, bro. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you. It was an honor, Bobby. It really was.